Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, right now going on at this time is the pomegranate workshop we were talking about last weekend. And I think that hopefully after last week's show about pomegranates and this workshop that's taking place right now, we'll start to see a really big increase in the sale of pomegranates and the propagation of it. And we'll be seeing more in our landscapes and maybe hopefully more commercially available.
Right, exactly. And especially, you know, it's customer driven, any kind of base. If you don't want to go out and buy $3 pomegranate fruit at your local grocery store, and you can certainly grow that in your backyard, I think that's an incentive enough to get pomegranates growing in our area. And I'm a big fan of them because they do provide a lot of ornamental value to them. You know, they have that shiny green glossy leaf. I particularly like to use them at the end of the season as well, kind of just pluck them off. And they do make a nice little decor inside your house
well. And, you know, as far as gardening activities going on right now, it's starting to sort of peter out a little bit. The farmer's market at Artovino's is finally done. And I think this weekend is the last weekend for the farmer's market at Mercado Mayapan at 2101 Myrtle. And so we're sort of entering a lull as far as gardening activities go. But this really should be the time when we're increasing our gardening activities outside. Maybe you're not harvesting any vegetables right about now, but you're probably getting ready maybe to plant some trees and some shrubs. And that's one of the big focuses we have for our November tips today, that it's still a really great time to be planting.
It sure is. And a lot of nurseries, they do get a second shipment of trees and shrubs around this time of the year. And because fall is such a great planting time for El Paso, so make sure that you go out to your nursery, check for a good, healthy nursery stock on there. You want to make sure that you are, if you buy the plant or the tree that's in a container, you might want to make sure that you inspect that root ball on there. If it's been sitting too long in the nursery, the roots will start to circle up and go around in circles in that one pot. So you want to make sure that you look out for things like that. And then, of course, overall, good health, obvious signs of pests or diseases on there is always good tips to look for when purchasing any plant, especially when you're making such a large investment with a large tree or a shrub. That place, it's going to go into your landscape. It's going to be there for a while, and you want to make sure that you get all those variables taken care of and make sure that you get the best tree for that location. And one thing that you also want to look at is the mature size of a tree. A lot of times they sell them in 10, 15 gallon sizes, and they're about 6 foot high, and you think, great, this is it. Perfect tree for my backyard. And it's just the beginning. You know, if you get into a good spot with a good microclimate going on there, it's going to flourish and it's going to outgrow a lot of smaller yards. So you want to make sure that you keep that mature height and those mature, not just height, the spread. So those mature dimensions. The last thing you want to do is have it encroaching into your rock wall or into your driveway in an area
into your neighbor's yard.
Exactly, and create more problems than what it's worth. So,
well, if you're going to be planting something like an Italian cypress, you don't really have to worry too much because those grow tall
vertical.
But it's always good to know, of course, the dimensions, again, like you were saying, of what you're going to be planting. And I think another thing that we need to remember is a lot of times if you plant something that is a little smaller, a little younger, maybe you're not interested in putting something full grown into your yard yet, I think you might actually reap more benefits if you plant a younger, smaller tree.
Right, exactly. You're able to really train the tree when you go to pruning and really look into those desired attributes. And of course, the bigger the tree it is, the more of a transplanting shock that it's going to get into. So these little smaller ones will be able to, because they have a smaller root system.
Yeah. Well, another thing that you were mentioning, the circling of roots in a pot, if you're looking for a shrub or a tree, I think another important thing to look for is if you are looking for a tree, try not to look for a long spindly one that you know is only being held upright by stakes. If I'm shopping for a tree, I always try to make sure that it's not staked when I'm looking at it, or that the trunk looks sturdy enough where I can take the stakes off to where it's not going to just topple over. Because I see a lot of this in the neighborhoods where you see somebody who's planted a tree. It's almost like a bean pole. It's just super long and thin. Mm-hmm. It's got maybe a few tufts of leaves on the top because it's been pruned up so high.
Right.
All the branches have been pruned off. I don't know if that tree will ever get trained off of the stakes because there really is nothing holding up that tree, and gravity or wind is just going to knock it over and bend it.
Exactly. And staking or using that guying wire is not a permanent solution mm-hmm. to keep any plants going. That's really for that first year, that transitional year where you want to make sure that, those roots are making good contact with the soil and it's going to be able to anchor itself. After the 1 year of training, all of those stakes and all of those wires should really be removed. If not, and if the tree is still weak, then something was wrong at planting, or even it could have been a very poor nursery stock to begin with. So yes, those are very important features to look at, the strength of a tree and how it does in that container when it's still in the nursery before you even consider taking it home.
And most nurseries offer a money back guarantee, for example, if your tree doesn't succeed for whatever reason. Keep those receipts.
Exactly.
Well, also, we were talking about staking. I've seen also in my neighborhood people who don't remove the stakes at all. And usually, you know, they have some wires wrapped around the bark mm-hmm. and the wires are covered in rubber. I guess that's the
right
deal mm-hmm. so it doesn't damage the bark of the tree. Well, there's some that sort of have the homemade stakes where it is just sort of like a wire that's been manipulated around the bark, and they don't take those wires off. And so the tree eventually grows
around
out
it.
And around it, and you can't really do anything about it.
Exactly. And sometimes in those really severe cases, if you try to remove that, you know, that outer layer of that bark, that's the active growing portion of the tree itself. So any kind of damage to that outer layer can be detrimental. It will even cause death to that tree. So that's one of the things, is to prevent those kind of situations from happening, to remove them quickly. It's not a permanent stake on there. But yeah, I've seen that it's very often done here.
And also when you're doing your tree selection or your shrub selection, it's always a good idea to know exactly what the tree or shrub is going to look. Because right now, you're going to the nurseries, you're doing some shopping, and things might not look at their ideal point. Like, for example, we had a call a couple of weeks ago on a live show about somebody who had a Bradford pear wasn't right. looking very good. Well, those normally look good for about a month out of the year when they're, you know, putting out their beautiful flowers and their leaves are
they're
starting
showy,
to come out. Right.
They're beautiful, and the flowers drop and they leaf out and they're green. And that's pretty much what they do for the rest of the year.
Or they get sun scorched, you
right.
know, with the hot summer.
Right, exactly. So you could be lucky and get some fall color out of it, but more than likely, you know, established trees right now are kind of shutting down. So right now might not be a really good idea to look around town to see what the ideal condition is, but that'd be some time where you could be able to look and then look at different links on the internet to look at different seasons of the tree. And then that way you'll be able to see what it is that you like. If you're a fan of flowers, you want a flowering tree, well, then you know what to look for.
Well, speaking of flowers, it's still a good time to plant some of our cooler weather loving flowers. And most of these are annuals?
Yes, they are. They're usually annuals, and they're usually sold in your six-pack cells in the nurseries. And there's a lot of, you know, pansies, violas that do really great when the cool weather comes in. Flowering kale is a really popular one.
Isn't that cabbagey looking plant?
Yes, it's kind of green and purple.
It
adds texture,
yeah.
is what I say.
I personally think they're kind of ugly, okay. but I've seen people buying them, so obviously I'm of a different opinion.
Right. Right, but we all agree that, you know, color is great, you know, and especially on your small little containers and your window boxes or by your front door where you kind of have a lot of traffic coming in and out. It's always great to have a burst of color mm-hmm. out there. And seasonal color is great, especially, you know, potted mums right now are really popular. They can be used for centerpieces inside and move them outside. So they're very versatile and they'll be long-term. You plant them in the garden after they're done and they'll give you a nice little showy color the following year.
Yeah, so just don't forget to take that ornamental paper and that plastic that you probably have gotten if you received a mum as a gift and put it in a really nice, well-draining pot. And you'll probably keep those mums for many, many years.
Right.
Well, our grass is starting to go dormant right about now. So if you haven't already done so, you need to go in and adjust the timers on your sprinkler system.
That's
and
right.
don't be watering so often.
Now is certainly time to lay off on the watering. No fertilizer. It's way too late in the year. And your Bermuda grass is going to start going dormant, as you said, and it's okay. You know, it's now time to kind of regroup and not think about the Bermuda grass for right now. And I think a lot of folks that do have the yard mowing duties are kind of happy about that. Right. So it's really a good time of season to really start shutting those kind of things down. And don't forget then when you do your last cut of the of your grass, drain that gasoline out of that lawnmower. It's very important because it's going to go into a long storage, you know, several months is ideally a long time. And you don't want to make sure that you have gasoline in that mower as well. So time to start putting away that lawn cutting equipment.
Which I'm sure people will be very happy about as well.
Yes.
Well, you're talking about not fertilizing, but I know they sell winterizer. Is that any good for us here where we live?
Well, the plant, if we think about it, it's going to shut down, so it's not going to be actively growing. So you're going to have fertilizer near the base of the roots, but the roots are really not going to be able to take that up and put it into the grass blades. So if you look at maybe an earlier springtime fertilizer may be your best approach for that. And just because there's fertilizer around doesn't necessarily mean we have to apply it. So look at how far, how intensively you want to maintain your lawn and how lush you want it to be. That means you're going to end up having to put more water and more, you know, inputs into that. And you can certainly space out those fertilizer scheduling a much broader intervals to be able to get the same green effects, but not so much labor involved in maintaining it.
Like we mentioned, we want to cut down on our watering of our lawns, but that doesn't mean we want to completely stop watering anything right at this point. Even when the weather gets colder, our plants are still going to be needing water, even though your trees might not look like they need it or your lawn might not look like it needs it. We still need to continue watering.
The more hydrated the plants are, they have water in their root system or in their cells, they're able to withstand freezing temperatures a lot better than those that are water stressed. And that's one thing that we don't realize. I know a lot of times, even us as humans, we don't get as thirsty during the wintertime, but we still need our water.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not as obvious as when the sun's beating down on you. And the same goes for the trees and shrubs need to be able to be hydrated even during the dormant winter season.
Now, what about evergreens? I know we need to maybe water deeply when the weather gets colder, about once a month. Do evergreens require that same schedule, or do you need to sort of maybe give them a little bit more frequent watering?
I think for the evergreens, you need to give them a little bit more frequent watering, but you just don't want to have to drown them out either as well. So the once a month is good, and you have a couple of evergreens in your yard, then go ahead and give them a second shot once a month.
But what about our indoor plants? I see here in our November tips, we need to reduce the fertilization of our indoor plants until probably mid-March. Why is that?
Right. Because, again, you don't want the plants to be – it's going to be cooler temperatures also inside your home as well. You don't want to have this tender new growth as a result of the fertilizer that it's getting and then have that being killed off. So you just really want to cut back on all of your water and fertilizer at this time. So,
and also with the weather getting cooler or colder here in the next few months, people's heaters are going to be on and want to make sure that your indoor plants aren't in the path of your ventilation, because you'll right. probably end up drying out your plant a lot more than you probably would have during the summer or the spring.
Exactly. And that's true with folks that have their heating vents on their floors in some of the older homes. It's really obvious. It's a microclimate, like we talked about, just outside and inside too. You're near that vent. That is a cause for some plants to get scorched. So even though it's really a time to minimize our outdoor activities only because the weather is getting cooler, I mean, it's always a good time to read up and to look to see and plan what worked for you this year and what you want to change or what you want to incorporate or also what you want to challenge yourself with for the following year.
Well, we have a complete list of your November tips online. It's on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, where you can also hear some of our past shows. And there are also some very helpful links about gardening in our region. Well, thanks so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.